Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, live show coming up from Arizona, Tempe Improv, that is. So I got a lot to talk about, and we got a lot of laughs to be had. So pull up a earbud and enjoy. First, let me tell you about GovX Military or First Responder. Is that you? Visit GovX.com to sign up for free instant access to tons of deals and a community that honors your service. Your job demands a lot. Deployments, long shifts, dangerous situations. GovX believes patriots deserve special recognition. Deals on gear, the stuff you need on duty and off duty. Brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Danner, and more. Every month, GovX supports nonprofits serving military, first responders, and law enforcement communities as well. So now is a good time for these folks to save and save big at GovX. So if you're a member of the military or first responder, GovX.com. Sign up. It's fast. It's easy. And it's totally free. Become a member. Do it today. Use the code Adam. Get $15 off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com. Savings for those who serve.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinnie Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice. And the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. Live from the Improv in Tempe, Arizona, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kyle Dunnigan, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, if you count turning red with rage, he's technically a person of color. Adam Carolla!
Thanks, you guys. I do appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Thanks for ordering dessert. Nice dessert. Have a treat. Yeah, why not? Live a little. Yeah, why not? I got a massage today. Why not? Why not live a little? So a couple things. I had this thing, this weird etiquette thing. Don't know where you guys are at with this thing, but when I see people in a public place and when I pass people in a public place, I say hi. So I don't say hi in a long form way. I just do kind of a heil hi, you know, like, hi, heil, heil, you know. So if I pass someone on a trail, I just go, hi.
And then there's weird people that don't respond. Like, you know the people that don't respond? Like, you're walking past them. They're like, you're on a mountain bike and they're going past you, and you go past them, and you go, hey, and they go, okay, I don't know what to do with that. And then you talk to people, and then the people you complain to about it make excuses for those people, like where they go, well, maybe they were unprepared. Didn't fucking leave the house with their hand? Like, what do you mean they're unprepared? You guys all know someone says hi and you fucking seize up, like, oh shit, what do they want? I can't commit to this. I don't want a long-term relationship with this person. I can't. I was like, what do you mean they seize up? You just go high. You pass someone, you go high, they go high, you go high. It's a happier world. But a lot of people, for some reason, don't have one of those chambered. And it's fine when you're walking along the horse trail, or you're going one way on the street and they're going the other way on the street. But I went to the massage. I want to call it a massage parlor. Can't put the fucking word parlor at the end of anything anymore. I guess you could say poker parlor. Even that's weird now. You can't use the word parlor anymore. But I went to the massage facility and the spa, the massage spa parlor. But tell me what you do at this one. I like the steam room, you know, so I walked into the steam room, and when I walked into the steam room, there was one fella sitting in the steam room, and then I said, hi, and then he did nothing. And then I realized, oh, unlike these things where we do it in the street and it's a millisecond and then I talk shit about the asshole who didn't say hi back to me, I have to now sit next to the person that refuses to acknowledge my existence as a human being. Should I keep talking to him? But now it's weird because he's already laid down the ground. He laid down the ground rules of our relationship, which is, he is not responsive. I'm definitely going to be the top in this relationship. He's very submissive. He's passive. He doesn't even have a safe word, this guy. Like, he just doesn't say a word. Like, so I walk in and I go, hi, and he just sits there and looks at me. And now I have to sit next to him. And now it's weird because now I'm sitting next to the guy who won't say hi. I don't know whether to double back and say hi again. I don't know if he feels bad and wants to break the ice. I don't know whether to establish eye contact with him to give him another shot, like another bite at the apple of hi. Like, I could go. He sits there and says nothing. Then there's that thing where in the steam room, I don't know who's invented these steam baths. Now that sounded gay too, right? You can't say parlor or bath. You just say room or spa. But the point is then you sit in there and the steam goes away, right? It does a weird thing where, like, it kicks in and starts going ballistic. Like, it's total silence. There's nothing going on. It actually feels like your living room at a certain point. And then at a certain point, it gets angry and it starts gurgling. And now it goes, and it comes alive. And then it starts going again. But then when it's silent for a long period of time, it's just me and the grout and the guy who won't say hi to me alone in this tiled mausoleum. So I got out of there quick. I was like, I don't want to deal with this. I got out of there, and I noticed they had a cold pool. Has anyone ever done the cold plunge? It seems like a good idea. But there's an issue, which is they have the jacuzzi over here. That's the hot one. The bubbles are going off. It's got that froth at the top of it. It's bubbling. It's popping. It's going off. And then over here is the cold plunge. Now, the thing about, you're going to be naked, right? Now, the thing about the jacuzzi, the water's 107 degrees, and your dick will never look bigger. But there's so much going on that you can't see anything a millimeter below the water level, right? It's just all scrubbing bubbles going on over there. But the cold dunk is clear as a bell. Clear as a fucking bell. It is, you can see China through that water. It is so clear. It is 31 degrees, and they put a light in the bottom of it, too. I'm like, wow, okay. And then I got into this thing naked, and my dick popped out of my ass. Like, it was like, what happened to my dick? Like, it's heading in. It saw its own shadow. 4 more weeks of winter, like, went right in. Then I was sitting in the cold water with the light at the bottom of it, looking for the guy who wouldn't say hi to me, waiting for him to exit the steam room, wanting to say, I don't greet guys with no cocks. That's my policy. I did get the massage. I got the massage. The woman did some talking, which I kind of liked. You know, she talked about the pressure and what we're going to do and I wonder if I had any, you know, trouble zones or anything like that. I also like when they want to know what you expect to get out of the massage. Like, they go, you just relaxation or full body. There's some trouble zones. Like, I think my daughter's becoming a lesbian. Is there a thing we can, something we can do about that? Or, no? Okay. Well, then just the relaxation. But she did say this, which I liked. Like, I was laying there, and she goes, all right, we're going to give you the 60-minute relaxation massage. And then she goes, this is all about you. I thought, you're fucking right it is. This is fucking $300 with the tip. It better be all about me. There's certainly nothing to do with you other than what you have to do with me. But then I liked it. I like what she said. I like that sentiment. I like her just going, it's all about me. And God love her, she was right. It was all about me. So I got the massage. And then when you're done with the massage, they always do that thing where they go, you got to hydrate. You got to drink a lot of water after this massage. And I'm like, I've been laying here like a corpse ice sculpture for 63 minutes. You have been trying to dislocate my shoulder for 60 minutes. You need some Pedialyte, bitch. I'm fucking fine. I've done close to zero for this entire time. All right. It's 100 and... what was it today? 100 and what outside? Is it hot to you guys out here, or is that just me? It's nothing. It's not bad. People, yeah, but is it, all right, so it's dry, but, you know, the oven is a dry heat on Thanksgiving, right? Like, we still cook a 23-pound turkey with dry heat. There's no moisture in that bad boy. I just feel like it's time to cool it down, right? Are we turning the corner here? Like, when does it start? When are we getting into double digits? Can we get into double digits? When? Oh, Halloween. Oh, okay. Are you guys allowed to trick or treat?
Yes.
Not LA. Yeah, LA. We're not. Well, here's how I we have a very exact science as it pertains to the pandemic in Los Angeles, which is like. Here's our exact science. No trick-or-treating this year. No trick-or-treating. This is a fucking outrage. Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead and trick-or-treat then. I don't know. I thought I'd just try it out, see if it worked. But I guess, all right, well, if you're going to be pissed, then trick-or-treat. Hey, why doesn't everyone in Los Angeles just drop and give me 25 push-ups? Would that be all right? No? Okay, well, fuck it then. I thought I'd try. Like, I'd love to exact a bunch of control over everyone around me, but if you're going to rebel and the sheriff's department's not going to enforce it, well, then fuck it. I guess just go. go ahead and be responsible and do what you want with your own fucking family, because they're your kids after all. But hey, you can't blame a guy for trying to make everyone miserable, can you? Folks, I'm just in charge to make people miserable. I got to try, right? From now on, let's see, Los Angeles mayor, I will decree Tuesdays, Liver Tuesdays. We can only eat liver. How about it, Los Angeles? No? Okay, well, can't blame a guy for trying. So we're going to be able to now go out and trick-or-treat. I do feel with the trick-or-treating, I don't know if you guys have this, but every year I say this, and every year I mean it as well, which is I don't like the gerrymandering going on with the trick-or-treating. Now, here's what I'm saying. Every year, a bunch of poor-ass, broke-down kids in cars come to my fucking nice neighborhood, and they drop these little poor fucks off. And they go after my top shelf candy, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Paydays, Milky Way. My feeling is, and then they fucking, they cart them all off to the good neighborhoods. They walk around the good neighborhoods. They take all the good candy and they go back to their shanty town. And my feeling is this. Every fucking year, you should be forced to trick or treat in your neighborhood. A six blocks, all you got is six blocks, that way, laterally, and from longitudinally and latitudinally, and that's all you got, because you should see who your fucking neighbors are, and you may want to explore some of the bad choices they've made in life. Don't come to my nice neighborhood and resent me for making good choices. You stay in your broke-ass neighborhood. Be scared. Like, is this a haunted house motif or is this how it always is? I don't know. That's definitely a dead cat. I don't know if that's part of the motif. I think it's that way in May. I don't know. All right. Well, I'm just going to walk across this dirt lawn and tap on the door with the paint that's blistering and the fucking sofa out on the porch, and I'm going to see what kind of burnt offering popcorn ball this junkie has to offer me. Then the kids would get a very valuable lesson in it, which is, instead of being pissed at me and my kids, you don't want to turn out like this broke down fuck, do you? No. Good. Study, work hard, get a job, and fight to keep it. All right. Thank you. Shall we bring up, let's see, we got Bald Brian out there, we got Gina Grad out there, we got, is Kyle Dunnigan going to pop up with us too? Hey, Bald, hey, Gina, oh, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, Kyle could not be here, unfortunately. I'm taking his place.
Hey, Sylvester Stallone, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I like that trick-or-treat stuff you just did. That was good stuff, you know?
You must live in a nice neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beautiful. I go out there, I do the trick-or-treat myself, you know?
Mr. Stallone, what kind of candy do you like to give out to the kids?
No, I don't give out no candy, you know? Oh. I go out and I get candy. It's a better deal, you know? But I don't do the trick-or-treat. I just do the trick. They open the door, and I say, trick. And a lot of them don't have it ready.
Now, Sly, if you don't mind me calling you Sly. And yeah. Brian, can we turn Brian's mic up a little bit? Feels a little soft, or maybe Brian could do it. Sylvester, you were a young boy. You used to go trick-or-treating back in the old days, like when you're growing up in Flatbush or wherever you grew up. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in Flatbush. It's a little tiny house. It was apartment buildings. We had a house in between. And so everyone would come to our house for the trick-or-treat because they didn't want to walk up the steps, you know? That's where I got the Rocky idea, because I was always walking up steps, you know?
Oh, you're saying you lived in a house with steps, and that gave you the idea to do the whole iconic Rocky Philadelphia climb the stairs thing.
Yeah, you know, I was always climbing stairs in the neighborhood, and I said to myself, this would be a good movie.
Story checks out.
So you're just walking upstairs, and you look down, and you thought, this would be a good movie.
Yeah, I sort of wrote the movie backwards, you know? So I was up the stairs. I said, this is a good part. And then I put my hands in the air, and I thought, well, I look like a champion. You know, I wrote the movie like in reverse. If you watch the movie reverse, that's how I wrote it.
Okay. Now, see, I feel stupid because I was at an airport once, and I was standing on one of those people movers, and I was looking down, and I thought, this would be a good movie. But I never did anything with it, you know?
Yeah, whenever those inspirations hit you, you know, you got to jump on them. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Also, the Rambo movie is also backwards.
The Rambo movie had to do with stairs?
No, it just was backwards, you know?
Oh, okay.
It started with everything blown up, and then I went backwards to a guy going into a little town.
He was on a camping trip.
Yeah, no, that's right. All right, so I think we're going to do a little, what are we doing?
Rotten Tomatoes.
We're doing the Rotten Tomatoes game, right. Now, I got to say, Bald Brian has won the Rotten Tomatoes game. I mean, it's been a long run. It's been 6 or 7 weeks of you
winning. Three times, fool!
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of winning, but I'm hoping Sylvester's going to be our good luck charm and we can dethrone Bald Brian.
You know, I've got a lot of smarts up here, Adam. You know that. You've seen it.
You got a lot of smarts.
Yeah. I got a brain in my head.
I think we have to be honest. I think we have to put the cards on the table. The only way Sly would win if they were all Maria Menounos vehicles.
Oh,
if you got any Nina Menounos trivia, I'm there.
You do know. Yeah, so that's the story that was interesting is I was at Maria Menounos' house and I saw Sylvester Stallone there for a party and we talked for an hour and all he did was smoke a cigar and punch his open hand with his closed fist. He just kept punching. Remember
that's
that
right.
Day over at Maria Menounos'?
Yeah, whenever you tell a good joke, I bring my fist up. That was a real knockout. I made a picture of it, actually, Adam, because we talk about it. I do a lot of arts and crafts at home. Look at this. This is me and you.
Oh.
See this?
Oh,
see
wow.
That, Adam?
You got it. You drew a picture of us.
Yeah, that's me and you.
It says their names. It says Adam, me, Marina, Menounos.
Yeah, there's Marina Menounos over there.
It's weird that everyone's stick figures except for Sly.
Yeah.
So, Sylvester, you do know how to spell Maria Menounos, right?
Yeah, I really did it right there.
I don't think that's how she spells it.
Hey, look, you always give me hell for this, you know? You give me a lot of trouble. But there's a lot of M's in that name. There's like 14 N's. It's confusing.
Mm. How are you doing? Yeah. How are you doing with your brother? We love your brother.
Yeah. The understudy, the Stallone understudy, Frank Stallone.
Well, now Frank is a great singer in his own right.
Yes.
Come on, you never heard of Frank Stallone if it wasn't for Sly, if it wasn't for the Italian Stallion, you know that.
Well, I don't know. He's quite a crooner. He sings a lot of great standards.
He's as good as your uncle. Yeah. You know, hey, my uncle got a pretty good voice. That's Frank.
Can you sing at all, Sly? Your brother's a great singer.
Oh, yeah. That's life, you know. That's what all the people say, you know. You riding high in April, you know. Shut down in May, you know. But I know I got you in tune, you know. Well, I'm back on top, you know. In June. That's life, you know, like that.
Yeah, okay. That's good. You sung That's Life. Hey, you should... Sly, can you just kind of go through the song, That's Life, That's What People Say, you know, without stopping and saying you know.
Yeah, all right, let's try that. I wish we had some, you know, piano in the background or something. You know, I'm doing this all by myself, but let me try it.
Well, you want to just give it a try? That's life, that's what people say.
That's life, you know, that's what all those people say, you know. You're riding my nipple, you know, shot down in May, you know. Yeah. But I know I'm what?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's just pretend you're doing karaoke, right?
Right.
And it's up on the monitor.
That's teriyaki, just for just
I didn't know that.
Karaoke. And it just says that's live. That's what people say. And you just read the words. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't say you know. You know, you just read the words. You know, I mean,
so
not you know.
For me to do
I don't mean you know. You just read the prompter.
Well, you just did it. I'll do what you did.
I'm sorry.
That's
it was a poor example. All right,
that's
well, what
other people say. Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe we should try. Well, you know, what if we did another song? What if we did a song like "Hey Jude" by the Beatles?
I love that song.
You know, "Hey Jude." You know,
that's a beautiful song.
Right.
Hey Jude. You know. Don't make it back. You see what I'm saying, Jude?
He's scatting.
That song.
But Sly, just do the song, Hey Jude. Like, don't do the you knows in between.
Hey, I'm doing what you're saying to do. I don't know what's going on here. I'm getting confused.
Well, you're making it sound more of like an instructional video. Just sing it.
Yeah,
that
just sing
good
it.
Good to me if I'm teaching, no?
Yeah, well, right, just try the song, yeah.
All right. Try Hey Jude again.
Hey Jude. You know? Don't make nothing bad there. You know? Be good. Be a good kid. All right? Look at life in a good way. Don't look at things bad. You know? Just, you know, face your problems with a smile. That's what I say, Jude. You know?
Okay. What if we... Let's pick something a little more upbeat, like I'm walking on sunshine by the Dexys Midnight Runners. You know, I'm walking on sunshine.
Favorite song, Mr. Carolla. I'm walking on sunshine. I'm walking on sunshine. Oh yeah, you know. I'm walking on sunshine. Oh yeah, it feels good to me. The sunshine does. That is a fact.
All right. So it turns out both brothers can sing, in fact, in the Stallone family.
That's right. We both got the pipe, baby. Thank you,
Eight People. One last one from the 60s. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
This one's going to make
me
cry.
Ain't no sunshine when she's away. Sorry, go ahead.
Let's get some mood lighting in there. Ain't no sunshine. Where's she gone? You know. Do you know that there's no sunshine? It's cloudy. It's a very cloudy day. Ain't no sunshine. You know, where's she gone? She's gone. She got away. You know, she's not there no more. She's gone away. No sunshine. The end.
The end.
Wow, that's powerful stuff.
Thank you, Nine People.
All right, shall we play the game, Sly and Gene and Bald?
Please.
We're going to knock him off his throne.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it needs a
it's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice. You Arizonans are used to your stupid 115-degree heat. But in case you haven't heard, our entire home state of California is on fire with no signs of things cooling down. We have no choice but to deliver the hottest round of the Rotten Tomatoes game ever. First, a man's car breaks down on a sweltering Los Angeles afternoon, and his own mental breakdown quickly follows. Who will survive the rage of Michael Douglas in 1993's Falling Down?
I love this movie.
Wow.
Our recently departed Joel Schumacher directed this.
Oh, really?
He's got not enough steps for a good movie. You see this?
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. You like steps. That's right.
You know, I like steps, but that's not enough, you know. It's not hard to get to the top.
All right. Well, I think we've all seen the movie. It was well received and somewhat critically acclaimed. I don't think there was any sort of political baggage attached to it. Yes.
That's 100%, you're 100% wrong about that. This movie is seen by some people as being very racist.
Oh, racist. Oh.
Yeah, he has the altercation with the Korean liquor store owner. He gets into a lot of altercations with minorities, and I think it may have affected the rating.
Hold on. Or does he?
Or does he, right.
It's Brian.
It was also racist before we cared about racism. I am going to say this thing was well-received, and I'm going to say 82.
Oh, my God, look at this, 82.
82.
I was going to say 83 and bumped it to 88.
I got to do a number here. I'm going to go with 112.
Okay.
So, Sylvester, you got to go between 0 and 100.
Hold on. The man said 112. Let him have 112.
When a man speaks, he needs to be listened to. And I say 112 points. Highest number so far.
0 and 100.
6.
6. Just 6.
Six.
Quite a swing.
Okay, it's a pretty good movie for six. Six is rotten, remember.
I feel good about that. Number just popped in my head, you know, so I said it.
But, you know, you do understand that Rhinestone was higher than a six, and Over the Top was higher than a six.
Yeah, of course Rhinestone is higher than a six. A very good movie, right?
Mr. Stallone, I'd love to ask you about Rhinestone at some point with Miss Dolly Parton, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Tremendous talent, yes. Mm.
And I think Stop or I'll Shoot My Mom or something like that. Yeah. That was above a six.
Classic movie, because it's funny, you know, because you got to stop or else I'm going to shoot my mom. That's funny.
Right. But those were all above a six, you know.
Yeah, terrific. They were all 100s, probably.
Tango and Cash was above a six.
Tango and Cash. Great. That's the first buddy cop movie ever made.
Oh.
Tango and also, it was originally Tango and also Cash. But the studio made me change it.
I didn't know that.
If anyone hasn't seen Tango and Cash in a while, please watch that movie. It's the beginning 12-minute sequence is probably the best piece of cinema ever laid down, ever captured on film. It is the greatest.
Yes. All right. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love that movie. All right, Dawson, what's our answer?
Falling Down is certified fresh. At 73%.
A little bit low. A little bit low.
Is that the closest one?
No. You did six.
All right. But then mine is from 112. All right.
Things get real hot in our next film. Set against a heat wave in Florida, William Hurt and Kathleen Turner have a steamy affair, then make a plan to kill her husband and inherit his wealth. But things don't go as planned. In 1981's Body Heat.
Oh, boy.
You guys ever see movies? Like, I saw this movie, 1981. I was 17. I was in high school. And I remember being, like, 16 and a half, watching this movie in the theater. And I thought, is that what being an adult is like? Like... You get to fuck and smoke and kill people. This sounds awesome. I had no idea what a wild disappointment being an adult would be. Fucking getting yelled at by your kids, having sex with the same woman for years, ever, not getting to kill anyone or foil the police. All right. People like this movie, right?
Yeah, I too saw it at 17, but that was, you know, 14 years after it was released. And I remember, like, always hearing about it. Then when I saw it, I was like, is this a movie? Is this good?
I think it was supposed to be good. William Hurt had a mustache, which is good. I don't know. Whoever's married to Kathleen must pop this thing on every once in a while and rub one out, right? I mean,
That's all you have at that point.
Taking a little walk down memory lane. I think this movie was a hit. I think the critics liked it. And I say 79.
Played it a little safer. I said 61.
I don't know from this movie. I said 75.
I'm going to go with the letter F.
So, Sylvester?
Yo.
Yeah. We need a number. We need, you got to put a number
okay.
to it.
Okay. Three Fs.
No, no. Not a number of Fs. Like, just a number.
Just a number. I got you. All right. Let's do 26 and a half.
46 and a half?
26 and a half.
Okay, but you just need like a whole number, like one number.
Yeah, the whole thing. All of 26 and a half numbers, all of it, the whole number.
Okay, all right. We got that locked in, Dawson?
Body Heat is certified fresh at 98%.
Whoa!
Wow!
Hey, Adam. Yo, Adam.
Whoa.
Yo, Adam. I've never seen this film, but I'm looking at this poster here. It's very offensive.
That's high. 98. I mean, it doesn't get much higher. I mean, the scale only goes up to 114, right, Sly? I mean, that's...
Yeah. It's almost it's like 18 points away from the best number.
But that's it, right. A scant 18 points lower than a perfect score.
But, Adam, listen. Look at this poster. It's very offensive, I'm trying to tell you. Is it a poster?
Yeah, no, it's very, yeah. He's smoking, she's smoking, no, everyone's smoking.
No, it's not that. It's, look how much bigger he, why is he with this tiny woman? He is going to hurt her very much with his appendage.
Yeah, she's like pocket-sized.
He's in the foreground. Sly.
Huh?
He's in the foreground.
Yeah.
She's in the background.
Yeah, he's way too big. I agree.
Foreground. It's called the foreground.
Yes. There's two of them there. But this guy, he's way too... She with a woman his size is my point. That's all.
So, Sly, they call it foreground and background.
I'm just glad they gave her a cigarette of her size. If they gave her his cigarette, she would die of smoke inhalation, I'm afraid.
Well, this game is heating up, pardon the pun, because that was a lot higher than any of us anticipated. All right, Dawson, what else?
In our next film, Leonardo DiCaprio attempts his best South African accent as he works with a black fisherman and an American journalist to uncover a rare gem that has the power to transform everyone's lives. From 2006... Blood Diamond.
Never saw it.
Yeah, it's a good movie you never want to see again.
I didn't know diamonds could bleed.
No, it's not. They call them blood diamonds, but they don't get blood from them, Sly. They just they talk about the blood that spilled in getting the diamonds.
I didn't see the movie, so how would I know that, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I didn't see it either, but somehow I found that information out. So,
but I got a good point.
Okay. All right, this is one of those movies that everyone has to like and has to think's important, although no one wants to see this movie, right? Like, I just didn't want to see this movie. It's dirty, gritty, poignant, you know, and also that kind of thing where you have to, like, look around, like go find your white neighbors and tell them how horrible they are for wearing a tennis bracelet. You know, I didn't want to go there. I just thought maybe I'd watch Tango and Cash for a 37th time. So,
nice.
All right, but the critics like this one. That's my point. The critics like this one. We didn't see it. The critics loved it. 87%.
Believe it or not, that's a zero. 90%.
I, too, went 90%.
Well, I did not see this film, as I said, but I look at the cover here. There's two very pretty girls, which I like, so I'm going to give this a 95%.
There's just the one lady on the poster.
There's the one lady.
No, the pretty girl in the front with the short hair, and the pretty girl in the back with the long hair, and then the gentleman.
Huh? All right. So I got the good-looking ladies and the African-American fella on the cover.
I think this is African.
Just the African.
Oh, just the African. That's right. In this case, that's right. He's just African. That's a very good point, because that's where they filmed the whole thing.
It's Chimon Hunsu.
Yeah.
It's a good point. He's just African. All right, Sly, you got a number?
Yeah, give that 95, whatever
95.
You want.
95. All right, so we got 90, 90, 95, 80, what'd I do, 7? All right, here we go.
Blood Diamond is fresh at 63%.
Oh!
This game is a travesty.
I'm shocked.
Wow, what?
Maybe it's not as important as we thought it was.
What's with the critics? The people had it at 90%. Okay.
What's that girl in the front's name with the short hair? What's her name?
That's Leonardo.
That sounds like a guy's name.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, very pretty. Very attracted to her.
Maybe you could work with her.
I would love to do a love scene. Mrs. Leonardo DiCaprio. Yes.
Well, I don't know their representation, but maybe I could blow a call into the agent.
Much appreciated.
All right, what do we got, Dawson?
On a swelteringly hot day in Brooklyn, tensions rise when an Italian pizza shop owner refuses to hang photos of black actors on his wall of fame. Spike Lee writes, directs, and stars in 1989's Do the Right Thing.
Stallone, you ever work with Spike Lee?
You know, I have not had the pleasure, but I do enjoy his films.
You enjoy the Spike Lee films?
Yeah, I like his films, you know. Good director, good writer like me, you know. He also writes backwards, I've heard.
Do you socialize with Spike? Do you know him at all?
No, we do not socialize. I don't really get out much. I mean, that Menino's, Menuno's place, that was the first time I was out in like a year, you know.
So, now, like Carl Weathers, he's a good friend of yours, right?
No, we don't talk much, you know. He was kind of a jerk, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Punched me the whole movie in the face.
Yeah, but you wrote the script. You had to know that was coming.
Well, you know, you get punched a few times, you start forgetting. You're like, what's
thanks
this guy's
for the laugh.
Problem? You know, this guy's got a bad attitude.
So you're saying Apollo Creed punched you the whole movie, and now you're angry at him?
Every time I saw the guy, he starts punching me in the face, you know?
But that it's in the script. It's part of the movie.
I don't know what's, you know, I forget what I wrote, but I'll tell you, it wasn't very nice. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. All right. I got to tell you, Cliffhanger is one of my all-time favorite movies right
there. Isn't that a great movie? Such a great movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of you straining. I like movies where Stallone strains, you know what I mean? He's hanging with one hand, it's freezing outside, he's wearing a wife beater and bike shorts and no socks. He's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I get the studio has me, I'm obligated to do 8 strains a movie. It's my contract.
Do you practice straining, like, as part of your acting? Do you strain, like, Cliffhanger when you're hanging or when you're yelling for Adrian or when you're in a bamboo cage in Rambo? Do you practice straining?
I mean, I'm pushing 70, so it's mostly on the toilet, but it's the same strain you know well. You know, it's like,
so, like, Sly, when you're getting off the toilet, what would it sound like?
Yo, Adrian, I did it! Like that.
And like in Cliffhanger, you're just hanging with one hand off the side of a cliff, straining.
Yeah. Get me the toilet paper!
I love it, man. I love to see a strain. I love the struggle.
Hey, thank you very much. Should be a category in the Oscars. Best strain.
Oh, my God. You would win a Lifetime Achievement Award in straining.
Right. I would sweep. That's right.
All right. So Do the Right Thing. The critics love this movie. And the only question is it 88 or is it 96? You know what I mean? It's going to be high. It's a fairly close game. I say the critics enjoyed it at 88.
I thought about going bold and going 100, but I cheated and went 99.
You said between 88 and 96. I split the difference, 92.
I'm gonna go by the poster again, and the camera lens is too high. This little girl fell on the ground. I give it a 2.
You give it
just
a 2?
Two.
Two tomatoes.
Okay. Well, 2's not very high, but who knows? Might be low.
It's enough for a sauce, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do the Right Thing is certified fresh at 93%.
Oh! Dang. Gina, what'd you guess?
92.
Oh, because, yeah, 88 and 96. Yeah, all right.
And I had that written down, by the way, before that, but I wanted to tie it in, dovetail it nicely.
All right. Okay. Are we down to our last one?
Our last film packs in dozens of your favorite comedy actors in this cult classic about the last day of camp during a very hot summer in 1981. Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Michael Ian Black, Michael Showalter, Janine Garofalo, Molly Shannon, Elizabeth Banks, Ken Marino, and Bradley Cooper star in 2001's Wet Hot American Summer.
This is
great movie.
This is one of those movies that we're supposed to like because it's so cool, but did anyone really like it, or who saw it, or was it as good as they wanted us to think it was? Brian, did you see this movie?
Yeah, I saw this movie, and I was supposed to like it, and let's just say that a lot of people liked this movie a lot more than I did.
But did they?
Everybody's in it.
Did
so
what?
Did they like it, or were we just sort of forced into liking it because we wanted to be cool, like Radiohead? You know what I mean? Like, who's got the balls to go, like, let me tell you, all right, I'm going to walk into a party and go, before I sit down to eat, let me explain something. I didn't much care for Wet Hot American Summer. I don't like Radiohead, and I'm not down with the BLM movement. All right, let's enjoy our dinner. Let's enjoy our meal. What? No, you can't do that. All right, so everyone liked this because it was supposed to be cool, and I bet the critics gave it a couple of cool, woke, cool points as well. Because I saw about half this, and I was like, is this really that good? I don't think so. It struck a nerve. I think it's artificially inflated. It could be anyone's game here, because this is pretty close, except for Stallone. So, I'm going to give it some cool points. I might have a very small lead to protect. I don't know. I'm going to say 78.
Yeah, I think I'm playing from behind for the first time in a while, so I actually went a little bold on this one. I'm praying it did not get good reviews. 55.
55.
I like this movie better than Adam, but I scored it less than Adam. I said 73.
Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did Gina say?
73.
73?
Mm-hmm.
73.
But, Sylvester, you're supposed to lock in your score before everyone else gives their score.
Let's lock me in at Gina's score, 73, please. Lock me in.
Very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
An A-lister can get away with this.
Yeah.
What do we got, Dawson?
Wet Hot American Summer is rotten.
Oh, no!
Yes!
At 38.
Oh no!
God.
Did Brian snatch this one from the clutches
of
defeat?
Jaws of defeat.
What? I thought the critics were all up in this thing. God damn it.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Oh, did Brian won this thing at the end with, oh, god damn it.
Ain't no sunshine when Brian wins, you know? In the sunshine, you know, when Brian wins. No one likes when Brian wins.
One person likes it.
Well, Sylvester Stallone, congratulations. You have secured the all-time highest score in Rotten Tomatoes.
Thank you, sir.
296 and a half.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure to win this game. Thank you, sir.
You know, it's probably better just to let him think he won.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Those points. Beautiful.
Gina Grad, congratulations. Yeah. You made the podium
you.
Another successive time with a score of 101. Adam Carolla, you bested Gina Grad by 4 points. Your score is 97. Leaving us, Bald Brian. He made a valiant leap at the end, but was it enough?
Boo.
Yes.
Bald Brian with a score of 96.
Whoa!
I won 1 point.
I hate this game.
He's a very poor winner this week.
Wait, did he beat by did he beat me by 1 point?
1 point.
Oh,
1 point.
No.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Great game, everyone. Great game.
Wow, 1 point. I thought it was more than that. Jesus Christ. 38 for Wet Hot Americans? Oh, God damn it. Ah, pox on you. All right, before we get into the news, let me hit Bruce here. Quick spot. Yeah, dentist. Yeah, quality, clean. Yeah, you want to get your teeth brushed right? Do it with Bruce, by the way. I have one of these things. I use it every day. Charges fast, works well. Inexpensive, lets you know when to switch by doing a little stop action. Sonic wave technology, 31,000 movements a minute, and 100 times as effective as manual brushing, and a good price tag as well. They got a refill plan, 3 replacement heads every 6 months, just $18, 6 cleaning modes, smart timer, 4-week battery life, magnetic charging station, sleek travel case, and more. You definitely want to get yourself one of these things. It is sleek, it's clean, it's nice, it's Bruce, and you can get 15% off Bruce Kit when you use the promo code Adam at Bruce.com. That's Bruush.com. Promo code Adam. All right.
Yo.
Shell. Maybe we can do some news, Gina Grad, and we can talk to Dr. Fauci, because I'd be interested in what Dr. Fauci might have to say about some of these news stories. You want to do that? Let's do the news with Gina Grad.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad, brought to you by Bet Online.
What do you got, Gina Grad?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought this up because there's a study about long-haul flights that, you know what, Adam, I'm getting worried about you, and I hope Dr. Fauci can weigh in on this. Mm. This is from Forbes. It says, while the airline industry has touted flying as a low-risk activity during the coronavirus pandemic, two new international studies strongly suggest that COVID-19 is very transmissible on long-haul airline flights.
So, international studies, just trying to keep Americans away.
Keep them out. So we want to be careful because the researchers traced the 217 passengers, crew members, and close contacts, anyone who had come within 2 meters for more than 15 minutes. And from a 10-hour flight, many people got sick, a lot of super spreaders on those long flights. Dr. Fauci?
Yes, it's very dangerous to be outside at all, and I'm very concerned about all these people here at the Improv today.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody. There should be one person in there at all times, at tops.
Just the one maximum capacity?
Yeah, just Adam.
Does that include the performer?
Yeah, no. It just should be Adam in there. The last show, all of his entire audience is now dead, unfortunately.
Oh, God. From and last night?
Now, I will now read their names.
Okay.
Scott Nichols.
But Dr. Fauci, do you think it's safe to fly?
Drucker. Yes, go ahead, Adam.
Dr. Fauci, is it safe to fly internationally?
No, you should not leave your bedroom. So flying across continents is the worst thing you could do.
But can I say this, Dr. Fauci? A lot of people don't have a bathroom in their bedroom. The bathroom is in the hallway next to their bedroom. Would it be okay to leave the bedroom to use the bathroom in the hallway?
No, you can make your mess in a bag and slide it under the door quietly.
So not even...
Don't ill, ma'am. This is life and death.
Not even... You couldn't even leave the bedroom to use the bathroom.
That's correct.
Okay.
I have many bedpans.
And so you're saying all my audience from my San Antonio show 3 weeks ago is dead?
Yeah, they all passed. Okay. Unfortunately, let me finish reading all 200 names. Allison Robot.
And
Nikki.
What?
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci, what do you think about the vaccine? A lot of people are frightened to take the vaccine. A lot of people think it's being rushed.
Yeah, don't take it.
Oh.
Don't take the vaccine.
No, I would just hunker down, cover your face with masks, and pray to God your death isn't too painful.
Yes. But what about getting the vaccine, getting out there, opening businesses, and getting the economy back on track?
No, that's a bunch of malarkey.
But Dr. Fauci, kids need to go to school eventually. They need to go back to school.
They've learned enough.
Jesus.
It's time for us all to dig deep holes and get into your deep hole and pray to God. It'll be a quick, merciful death.
Look, Dr. Fauci, I...
Morbid.
No disrespect,
grim.
But, you know, your boss, Donald Trump. Your boss, Donald Trump, I think he begs to differ. I feel like Trump has a slightly different approach to this thing than you do.
I don't, I mean, he disagrees quite firmly. But I will tell you this. I need all the social security numbers of your audience for the death certificates. So if they could write that down on a napkin and hand it to the front, it would be much easier for us to find you.
Sorry, Gina. Go ahead.
No problem. Dr. Fauci might even have an opinion on this. There's this show in Denmark that's
mask.
Thank you. It's an award-winning television program. It's called Ultra Strips Down. And it puts nude adults in front of school-age children. And here's why. The series allows its young participants, 11, 12, 13-year-olds, to ask grown-up volunteers any question they want in order to promote body positivity and combat body shaming.
So what happened?
I think we have a picture for you. So that's the show. And despite Denmark's relatively permissive attitude towards nudity and well-intentioned mission, a lot of people not happy about this, saying they're creating depraved children. And they're thinking of shutting this show down.
Is one guy missing a leg from the knee down?
He does seem to be.
And you know how it should work. Watch. I'll be the guy with the leg missing, Gina.
Okay.
The one guy's, he's naked, but from the knee down, he's missing. Now, we've tiled out his groin, so I don't know if he's been cut or not. There's other parts that are missing. But, Gina, you be the 9-year-old, and you ask me what happened to my leg.
Okay. So, what happened to your leg?
I didn't eat my vegetables. And I talk back to my stepdad. Understand, bitch?
Uh-huh.
Now go home.
Well, well done. See,
this,
they should keep this show rolling. It may be taken off the air. I doubt it will make its way stateside. But if you want to look for it, it's called Ultra Strip Down.
Hey, can I say this? Or maybe it's just me, but I don't know. I'm unpopular anyway, but I don't care. When they do those things where they go, like, we need normal bodies. Like, we need regular people and kind of normal bodies. The dudes look sort of relatively okay. I mean, in terms of their physiques, you know what I mean? Like, the guys were, like, in decent shape and whatever. And the women are always a little, oh,
sloppy.
We have to celebrate the heavyset woman kind of thing. It's just like, hold on, Gina. God damn it. I'm not done. It's just like the titties. You'll get behind me on this one. Whenever they do the, like, naked women, like, oh, they're the naked. It's always a bunch of fucking A-cups. Why can't we have some titties when they do
that's
the naked
point.
Women thing? Those
okay,
two dudes
fair.
Had decent physiques, minus the guy's leg. And the chick was like a fucking, she was like a burlap sack full of bobcats.
May I shed some light on that?
Yes.
I am guessing, now, Dr. Fauci's the doctor, and I'm certainly no mathematician, but I'm guessing that those dudes didn't shoot a fucking watermelon out of their baby cannons any time in the last 20 years. Now, personally, I have no excuse, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that that woman has had children come out of her body.
I'm saying if you show a decent-looking woman naked with a nice C or D cup,
hold
then
on.
It's exploitive. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. Dr. Fauci, how say you?
That woman must have had octuplets looking at that nurse, Adam. Very sloppy. Very sloppy.
Look at the mess.
That's what I'm saying. By the way, the questions from the, like, young 11-year-old boys, like Timmy up front. Yeah, sorry. How do I go gay?
What year did you melt?
That's a scared out of being straight program.
All right, let me do a little business here. Fauci, maybe you could hand the mic over to your boss, Donald
okay,
Trump. Do you think that I'll do Bet Online here. Oh, man, the wait is finally over. Football season back up and running, people. Yeah, you want to get in on some of this action, and you can still do it at Bet Online Sunday. The games are coming up. This is 9:20, by the way, this week. Rams, Bills, Titans, Vikings, Texans, Steelers, Buccaneers, Broncos, Packers, Saints, Raiders, and Patriots. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads to totals to props. Get in on season-opening bonuses. Wager on wins, championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. Bet online, you're online. Sportsbook experts. Donald Trump, President Trump, you on there?
Hey, what's up, all you stupid idiots? Trump
hey.
Here.
Donald, I don't know if you saw those naked foreign people, but did you get a load of that broad?
Oh, I got a load, all right, Adam. That was disgusting.
Yeah, not attractive. Not like Melania, that's for sure.
No, although she's turned the corner, there's some things getting away from her, to be honest. Okay, I'm an honest person. You know this. Very honest. Getting a little sloppy there.
Yeah.
In the midsection.
Hey, I don't want to get in any, you know, uncomfortable territory here, but the story out of last week about you calling some of the fallen soldiers from World War I losers.
Right.
Was that?
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah, the losers who, right, yes.
The suckers. You call them suckers.
The suckers, the losers. Okay.
So you say they're losers because they got shot by the Germans? Or how'd they get that title?
Well, just, you know, I put myself in those situations. Okay, storming the beaches of Normandy, let's say. Trump would come out of there, arms open, two guns, you know, to the top of the hill there, winner. That's all. That's just like Trump, that's what Trump would have done. Okay.
Right, but Trump, I mean, President Trump, World War II and World War I were different wars. They didn't storm the beach at Normandy in World War I, you understand?
No, I mean, it's all the same thing. You know, it's the world. You know, it's that world. Okay, the world, all of it. And then war, part one, intermission. Intermission, part two.
Do you know who the Allied and Axis powers were in World War II?
I don't know automobiles like you, but I don't know what those words are exactly. Okay. But I do know this, Trump, winner, would have won the war. That was all I was saying. No disrespect, right. Okay?
Would have won the war. All right, Gina, I'm sorry. You have another news story?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder if the president has been involved in this anyway or maybe would like to do something like this in the future. NASA and the International Beauty Conglomerate are teaming up to produce a new campaign filmed at the International Space Station. It's going to be 250 miles above Earth. So a NASA spokesperson confirmed on Thursday as many as 10 bottles of Estee Lauder's popular Advanced Night Repair. That's a serum. Will launch into space at the end of the month for some galactic research, but probably more of a commercial. So what they're going to do is the astronauts themselves are going to film these products sort of floating in space for a new ad campaign. They won't be standing or, you know, posing with this stuff because they're not allowed to endorse anything. But Estee Lauder is going to space for this new commercial.
Space pussy. Yes, Trump is in. Thank you very much.
Good.
Trump, Mr. President, you do have a Space Force, right? Is that your new branch of the military?
Yeah, Space Force. How cool is that right there? Space Force. You know, great tight outfits for the ladies, you know. Terrific.
Are folks going to be launched into space, or are we just worried about ICBMs like coming in from North Korea, or what? How does Space Force work?
I don't know what it's for exactly, but it's cool. Space Force. Force in space.
Yeah. And are you personally working on designing the uniforms?
It was originally a TV pilot I was pitching, and then someone took me seriously. I kind of forgot I was present for a second there. And then I said, okay, yeah, Space Force.
All right, sorry, Gina. What else you got?
Yeah, no, I have something ripped from the headlines right out of Arizona. Deputies in Arizona arrested four people after a routine traffic stop uncovered a stash of meth that is a street value of nearly $4 million. But they didn't find it. Oh, no. A police dog sniffed out the drugs, which weighed 89 pounds. They were driving through the Mojave area. General Narcotics Enforcement pulled them over. All four faced charges of transportation of dangerous drugs for sale and possession of dangerous drugs for sale. And it's all because of a little canine unit that found it for them.
Can I... I have talked to dog handlers. I've talked to the ones that sniff out the drugs and the gunpowder and all that stuff. And even the attack dogs, the ones that chew on your arm and everything. And every handler I've ever spoken to says the dog is just having fun. Like the dog is trying to find its toy. All the dog wants is to get its treat. The dog doesn't have any malice. He's not pro. You know, it's funny because you think of it as like, he's a law enforcement. No, he's not a law enforcement dog. I want my jerky dog, which will just, it just shows you dogs will fucking do anything for food at any time. That even the ones that attack you are doing it just to get their fucking treat. That's all they do. That's all they want. So the attack dogs, the drug dogs, the backyard fruit dogs, the gunpowder dogs, all they want is their little treat, and that's what they do. And it's always so ironic to me that these dogs can find millions of dollars worth of drugs, and all they want is a little jerky treat at the end of the whole thing. That's all they want. They're just going to find it, and then they throw them their treat. And that's it's not even a food treat. It's a toy. They just treat them. They want their toy. So the reason...
These canines need to unionize. This is... They're working for literally table
staff. Yes, I know. Like they get them on this toy. Like, the way they train them is they have, like, a baggage carousel down in Quantico, Virginia, or something like that. They go to their training place. They have their little toy, and they put their little toy in the suitcase that has the cocaine in it. And when they sniff it out, then they get their little toy. And the second they sniff out the cocaine, they just go, oh, now I got my little sock toy, and they just go away. That's all. That's all it is. But you always find it to be sort of bizarre for the person who's going to do 14 life sentences, and this dog got a fucking tennis ball in a sock. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they need better representation.
I agree. Let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, oh, this is just the greatest video ever, so I'm going to have to show it to you. I know that a lot of people think that they, you know, maybe they started young, you know, learning a skill. And I'm telling you right now, you're a loser and a slacker because you're not little Rich Humphreys. He's 6 months old. We have a picture, maybe a video of him. And apparently, he is now a water skiing, wakeboarding prodigy.
Oh, I was about, you know, it was so funny, Gina, when you said he's 6 months old. I was like, don't show that picture of the squirrel who water skis, because I literally was thinking squirrel water, because that's always my go. I have two go-to examples for the cop-out. There's like the squirrel that water skis. They take a squirrel, they staple his feet down a piece of plywood, and then they drag him behind a boat. You'd fucking water ski too if somebody stapled your feet to a piece of plywood and dragged you behind a boat, right? My fucking grandma Helen's been dead for 13 years. She could water ski if we stapled her feet to a piece of plywood and dragged it behind a boat. So I was like, don't show me that shit, because it's the same shit they do when they go, in Manhattan, somebody made a $10,000 martini. It's a Grey Goose martini with a $10,000 diamond in the bottom of it. Like, that's not a fucking $10,000 martini. And I was so funny. I was thinking about water skiing and the squirrel. You guys have heard me bring that one up as like the cop out go to one. But this kid is, in fact, water skiing.
He's 6 months old. Here's a video. You see him going. He's holding onto a little rail. And he's braced up. He's standing up, loving every minute of it. This was in Lake Powell in Utah. The baby is standing and balancing, and the boat's pulling him. His dad, Casey, posted a comment saying, 6 months and 4 days. Take one look at this kid and tell me he isn't having the time of his life. Such a little stud. Hashtag world record.
Now, you could do that shit in Utah, but you couldn't do that shit in LA, right?
Oh no, your child would be taken from you swiftly.
Because Child Protective Services would come after you if you did that shit in LA.
Trump, hey, Adam, I once got hammered on those martinis. Threw back like five of them. It's awesome.
Oh, five $10,000 martinis?
Yeah, I got hammered.
I was thinking, I don't know why this young guy made me think about it, but we're having all these wildfires in California, and then one of the huge fires that burned millions of acres was caused by the gender reveal party.
That's right.
Right? So that kid had a gender reveal party, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. You know, it'd be funny after the 2 million acres were charred and people died, millions of dollars of buildings destroyed, structures destroyed. It'd be funny if 13 years from now that kid announced, I'm undergoing gender reassignment surgery. So, sorry about the charred acreage, but I'm becoming a lady now. I don't know if that helps. I don't know if it hurts, but that's what I'm doing. By the way, that kid's
really
grown up
nothing.
In California, so there's like a 63% chance they're going to undergo gender reassignment surgery. But
Well, and it's ironic because I think people who do these big gender reveal parties want to show that they care the most about their kid, which is going to be tough when the parents are in prison and never actually meet the child.
President Trump, what do you think about biological men competing against women in sports?
I think that's terrific, you know, a little equality. I'm all for equality, you know, that's Trump's thing.
Oh, you're down with equality now.
Absolutely. I fought women. I don't see sex, you know, as differences.
And I don't know if Caitlyn Jenner's anywhere in the room.
Hold on a second. Let's see if she's...
they hang out together. He's going to get her.
I feel like Caitlyn Jenner is, like, uniquely qualified to answer the question of formerly biological men, now women, competing against women in track and field, MMA, and all that stuff.
What's up, baby? Yeah.
I'm sorry, Caitlyn?
Yeah, baby. What are we talking about? Huh?
Caitlyn,
it's America's hero, Caitlyn Jenner. Yay! I'm a hero.
Caitlyn, I'm
so... I only killed one lady. What's that?
Yeah. Caitlyn, first off, congratulations on all the years of the Kardashians. Keeping up with the Kardashians finally coming to an end this season.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, huh? Yeah. But, you know, we had a great run, and I didn't really care for the family by the end anyway.
And now I know it's interesting for you because you're a California Republican. On the other hand, you're a big spokesperson for transgender rights. So where do you come down on biological?
I just don't know what's so confusing. Whoops. Hold on a second. I just went back to being a guy for like 2 seconds. Sorry. I picked the wrong button, baby. You know, Adam, I don't know what's so confusing about it. I just don't like gays.
So, when do you come down on biological men who are transgender, who now are competing in women's sports?
Let me tell you this way. Caitlyn hits from the ladies' tees, baby. That's how I feel about it.
Are you dating Caitlyn?
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. I got a girlfriend right now. She's fantastic, you know. Having a lot of sex, you know. Rubbing donuts, baby.
You're dating a female.
Yeah.
Didn't you just say you hated gays?
Yeah. No, it's not gay because we're trans. We're both trans, so it's not gay. Oh.
So I think it's all negative.
I feel somehow more gay.
Huh? Oh, shut up, Brian. You know shit. You're transphobic, you asshole. Brian's transphobic, everybody. You heard it.
It had to be said.
Caitlyn, I'm sorry. Sylvester Stallone was on earlier in the evening, and we asked him to sing a Sinatra song. I think it was, That's Life, you know? And I thought he did a pretty good rendition of it, but I'd be curious what your rendition of That's Life.
That's life. You know what I'm saying? That's it all. Oh, I got a wig on. Hold on.
Let's all sit back and listen to Caitlin's hot version of That's Life. That's life, yeah, baby. That's what all the people say, baby. Yeah, yeah. You're right now in April. Yeah. Shut down in May. But I know I'm going to change my tune when I'm back on top, baby, back on top of you. You like that? Does that get you hard, Adam? Does that turn you on, baby?
Caitlyn, on a serious note...
I was serious.
On a serious note, Kanye West, son-in-law, I guess, or something. I don't know what he is, but he seems to be off his meds. He's urinating on his Grammy Awards. He's completely lost it. Are you in contact with Kanye?
Yeah. No, we talk here and there. We'll go to lunch. He actually joined in the fun last weekend. We got kind of freaky deaky at my house in Malibu. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what.
But it was, it's free love out in California. And he came over. We were in the middle of something. And I said, join in the fun, baby. Oh, you guys judging that? You guys from Tempe judging? That was happening?
transphobic assholes.
You're making my teeth hurt, Caitlin.
Yeah. I'm making something else hurt, I think.
All right, Gina, let's bring it home, shall we?
You've got it. I've never been more ready for you to say that. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina, Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad, brought to you by Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
I want to thank Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Kyle Dunnigan.
Yeah, everybody. Baby.
You can check out Kyle's YouTube page, youtube.com/Kyle Dunnigan, and his Instagram at KyleDunnigan1 as well. Thank you so much, Kyle and Bald and Gina. We're going to do a little what can Adam complain about. Adam Carolla is unprepared. Same bit. You guys come up with something. Hopefully it's just one word, and I shall do a stand-up bit on it. First, let me tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I hope you guys are enjoying this fine product. Perfect drink for your next virtual party hour, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's not your average flavored liqueur. Oh, no. It's made by husband and wife team. They're an American duo. They make American whiskey, and they make a peanut butter flavor. This stuff is great. We always have it out at the parties, at the Corolla digital parties. People do shots. People make drinks out of it. They make highballs out of it. It's delectable. It's fun, and it always goes first. Tastes amazing all by itself. Neat on the rocks. Do it as a shot. Or elevate your practically any cocktail party or coffee or whatever you got. Put in a scoop of vanilla ice cream for an adult dessert. It is Screwball. And by the way, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is donating hand sanitizer to hospitals, police, and firefighters, and more. Screwball Whiskey. Right, Dawson?
Screwball, the original and most awarded peanut butter whiskey, is now available near you at 70 proof. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is the perfect shot or the perfect addition to your favorite cocktail. Pick it up at your local store or get it delivered today. Ready to get, hashtag get screwed? Go to screwballwhiskey.com for more info. Enjoy responsibly. Advertisement by Screwball Spirits, LLC, San Marcos, California. Whiskey with natural flavors and caramel color, 35% alcohol by volume.
All right. Nice job, Dawson. You guys toss out a word and I will do a bit. That guy. What was his thing?
Saguaro.
Saguaro. What's saguaro?
Cactus.
Oh, cactus? Okay. Is that the big, tall, done? All right. I was staring at one of those saguaro cacti today. That's singular for cactus. Or maybe it's plural for cactus. Who the fuck knows? The point is I was looking out my hotel room window when those saguaro cacti, and I saw a hole in it, like a 3-inch round hole in it. And I thought, how did that hole get there? And then I saw a bird come out of it. And I thought, wait a minute, a bird lives in that cactus. And then I thought, that is a badass bird. You have chosen to live inside a cactus. That is like one of those things where you're talking about, like, how bad a dude was this dude? This dude was so bad, he combed his hair with a wagon wheel and lived in a cactus.
Yeah!
You guys have a bird out here that thinks it's a good idea to live in a cactus. The birds in L.A., they live inside of, like, streetlights and mailboxes and homeless people's beers, but none of them live in cactus. And I was just looking at this big phallic thing jutting up from the ground. And also, I thought to myself, I fucking love cactus because it's 155 degrees outside, and the cactus is, like, hot enough for you? I wish it was a little bit hotter so I could stretch my legs. Also, what I noticed with you guys do something in Arizona that we don't do in Los Angeles, which is you take reality on reality's terms. Like LA, we're like, you know what we're going to do? The side of the freeway are going to be lined with roses and beautiful succulents and ivy, and it's going to be a beautiful green. It's gonna look like the Masters on the 18th hole with beautiful putting greens and beautifully manicured lawns. And then 15 minutes later, it's all fucking shopping carts and weeds and graffiti and homeless people shitting and syringes everywhere. You guys, I drove here from the airport yesterday. I was like, you guys get it. You're living on the surface of the moon. Nothing here can grow. There shall be no seed. We'll find no purchase here on your scorched, forbidden earth. So you go, fuck it. We're putting one of these cacti there, and we're going to throw a bunch of gravel down, and that's it. We're moving on. You know what, Eric? Oh, okay. Aha! Here's what you guys do. L.A., here's what L.A. is. L.A. is like the balding 63-year-old producers going, I'm going to get some Just for Men and comb it over. Just fucking comb it over. And you go, you look like a fucking asshole. I can see your scalp through there. Oh, no, I'll get some Grecian formula and I'll fucking comb it over. You guys go, fuck it. I'm going full Michael Jordan. Give me the fucking buzzer. Give me the wall. I'm shaving it off. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. You guys have figured out your fucking landscaping. All I do is drive on your freeways and go, yes, yes, that's right, yes. Yes, nothing grows here. Nothing grows here, and you guys fucking figured it out. You got a cactus with a bird in it. That's all. I don't even know what birds live in that cactus. I would... What kind?
Cactus
red. Oh, it's got the word cactus in it. Yeah, of course. I would be the worst, like, husband of one of those cactus birds because they'd be like, why don't we move into the side of this cactus? And I'd be like, yeah, knock yourself out. Call me when you're done. How do they get started on the side of the cactus? And then also, the cactus has to be confused because the cactus would be like, we have evolved over millions of years to not have anything with a brain to get near us or ever think it'd be a good idea to make its home here. And all of a sudden, fucking Tweety Bird comes by and goes, I like to live in the side of this cactus. But do the birds live in that cactus because no other creature would fuck with them? Like, it's not like there's an alley cat that's like, you know what? I'm going to climb 18 feet of barbed cactus at the off chance I may get to that bird, right? What's that cactus called again? Cactus wren. Yeah, whatever. All right, so I was staring at cactus. I love cactus. I like when cactus gets so plump and so big and so full of itself that at some point it just falls over. Like, it's like... You ever watch porn where the guy's dick is so big it can't hold itself up? It's like it fucking falls. It's like, oh, my dick's too big. Look out. I killed three lumberjacks when my dick fell over. I like when a cactus just gets so robust and so big and so tall that at some point one of its arms just fucking falls off. Also, I don't know if you have people here that eat cactus, but... that's a bad sign. Where I come from, well, Mexicans eat cactus, right? They don't eat it raw, but they cook with it, right? Because cactus is basically Mexican tofu, right? Mexicans must laugh their ass off at all these assholes who go down to the Whole Foods and buy tofu. Like, a brick of it was $8. Really? I got 70 tons of it for free right here. It is a true story that when I used to work doing closet installation, I worked for Always Better Closets, ABC Closets. I worked for A&B Carpets, and then later on I worked for ABC Closets, Always Better Closets. And I was with all these poor Mexican guys, and we'd install the closets, and we're driving our cube truck out to a site. These guys, their wives, I was single, so I didn't like have any food or wife to make me lunch or anything. And they'd show up with all these corn tortillas all stacked high. You know, they take these corn tortillas, they deal them out like they were doing poker on a riverboat. They're like, bam, 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 bam. Like, everyone got their shells. And then they take this compote that was in the Tupperware and they dump it on the thing. And so they made me one and I was eating it. I was like, this is weird tasting shit. Like, this chicken tastes weird. And they're like, yeah, is that chicken? I'm like, well, what is it? They're like, it's cactus. I was like, first off, you got to give a brother a heads up when you're feeding him cactus. Like a little, I may have a cactus allergy or something. So the guy goes, he's eating, it's cactus. And I was like the whitest guy in the world. I was like, what cactus? Where the fuck, where do you buy cactus? I've been to the store. I never seen any cactus. And the guy just goes, I go, where do you get cactus? And he goes, and he just points at the mountain. He literally points at a mountain. Could you imagine? By the way, the fucking wives do it. Could, hey, Whitey, calling all white people. Could you imagine? I'd love to get up Monday morning and wake my wife up and go like, hey, Lynette, yeah? Here's a machete and a burlap sack. Yeah? I need you to go up the mountains. What the fuck for? I need you to fetch me some cactus, bitch. She'd fucking have Mark Garagos on, like, speed dial, like, right there. Like, no, we're getting divorced. Like, could you imagine Whitey telling your wife to get a machete and a fucking burlap sack and some rodeo fucking gloves and going up to the... And then, sweetheart, when you get the cactus back, I need you to deburr it and chop it down and put it in some beef bouillon and cook it up for dinner tonight. All right? Knock yourself out. I'm going to work. What was that cactus? That was a good one, right? It was cactus, right? I was thinking about that cactus today. Who lives in that cactus? When I was, I'll do Paul Newman in a second. I went to Baja once, you know. I went to Baja a bunch of times, really. But Baja, if anyone go down the Baja Peninsula, man, they got cactus there that's angry, maniacal, death cactus, like crazy, not your sort of Americanized, you know, domesticated Home Depot cactus. They got fucking crazy killer cactus. And my friend Chris was riding a motorcycle. He was riding like a dirt bike and it was all up on the trails and everything. Some point pitched it, went flying into crazy novelty, scary cactus. And he got out and it was all stuck to his hands. It was all fucked up. And we couldn't even get the cactus off him because we didn't want to get stabbed with the cactus. So we had to go get pliers and pull the cactus off him. And all I remember is we were camping and we were anywhere near a hospital. And he was totally jacked up and his hands were all fucked up because he put them into the cactus. And later on that night, because we were camping, he went to go take a shit. And then halfway into the shit, he's like, I can't wipe my ass. Got a little help here? And I remember thinking, this guy's my buddy, but Jesus Christ. Wiping cactus ass. So I told my buddy John to do it. But anyway, that's me. All right, what do we have over here? God. We had God and... God and Paul Newman. Huh?
Talk like a pirate day.
Talk like a pirate day. I can't talk like a pirate day. And I don't even know when that is, but I will. Oh, okay. Well, somebody's invested in Talk Like a Pirate Day over here. By the way, making fun of pirates is all we have culturally anymore. Like, let's face it, fat people, blacks, gays, Mexicans, they're all off the table. The only thing left is pirates, so we should fucking enjoy it while we can. Because talking like a pirate is going to be a hate crime in about 3.5 years, so Talk Like a Pirate Day is about all we got left. I mean, I'm trying to think, but there really is no making fun of groups anymore, which I'm ashamed. I don't like that we can't make fun of groups. So I am a big proponent
pirate opponent about Talk Like a Pirate Day. And I hope that we could talk shit about everyone day. I was talking to my son. I was trying to explain to him that stereotypes are good. I said, they're good. They're for a reason. Stereotypes exist for a reason. Like, they're here for a reason. And they only work when they're true. If they're not true, then they don't work. Then they're confusing. So they have to be true. Otherwise, they don't work. And I said to my son, he's 14. He's not a very good student. I said, look, let me give you a quick example. I said, what if I told you you were entered in a spelling bee and you had to go up against an Indian kid? And he goes, oh, man, I'd be worried. And I said, that's right. And what if I told you that kid was American Indian? And then he goes, well, I'd be relieved. And I said, that's how stereotypes work. So I'm not only a father, but I'm a hero. Yeah. All right, you guys. Oh, wait, do I got one more here, Max Zapata? Oh, all right. Last but not least. A very important message to my son. All right, last but not least, Tommy John. I hope you guys are wearing your Tommy John. The secret to staying sweat-free when you're climbing that cactus, trying to get that bird all day long. Tommy John, summer ready, ultra breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women, like having your own on-body AC unit, natural Pima cotton, should be Primo, Pima cotton, enhanced airflow, evaporates sweat super fast. This stuff's just the best. I hope you guys got Tommy John. I don't care if you're a fan of me or the show. I would do it anyway. Beautiful stuff. Upgrade today for enhanced, super breathable designs. Best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guaranteed. It's Tommy John. Right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. I want to thank Ball Bryan and Gina Grand. Kyle Dunnigan for coming out here tonight and knocking out of the ballpark. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get Adam's new book. I'm your emotional support animal. It's available everywhere and at adamcarolla.com.
And before we get out of here, one more thanks to Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? What do you do? Do you want a bundle? Well, you own or you rent, or you got to have insurance. You got to have auto insurance. Bundle it. Make it easy. Save money. Let's get it under one roof at Geico. At geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving on your homeowners and your rental insurance when you bundle. That's Geico, geico.com.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, once again today, Gary Smith sitting in for Adam and the crew, and I'm Jeff Cesario with this headline. Will the Lakers finally pop this Denver Nugget bubble that has just been, has refused to burst? The Lakers are up 2-0 on the Nuggets. Now other teams have been up. The Jazz have been up. Clips have been up. Up 3-1. Up 2-0, 3-1. And they could not put them away. But it looks, at least according to the first two games, the other night was close. 105-103. Denver made a game. But that's the kind of game I think the Denver Nuggets need to win if they're going to seriously compete with the Los Angeles Lakers, because the Lakers look awesome.
They sure do. You know, that AD shot at the buzzer was an amazing, amazing clip. Great on social media. You know, after the Clippers were vanquished, famed Laker fan Snoop Dogg came out and said, in response to the Denver Nuggets saying they deserve respect, "We aren't the Clippers. Lakers are going to win in five." I'm going to take it a step further. After seeing game two, Lakers in four. We're going all the way, baby.
Wow. Yeah, that may have been their shot. That may have been their chance. Although, Boy, you know, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
They played lights out. If they play lights out and the Lakers miss a couple, or somebody stubs a toe, or somebody throws up an air ball, or they're just not in the mood, Denver could at least win one. And boy, with that, you know, sometimes it's just the vibe to a team where you go, well, what happens now? What if it goes 2-1 or even 3-1? And you go, well, we got them right where we want them. That's the spirit the Nuggets are going to have.
Yeah, and I'll allow for that. I mean, I know no doubt that Murray and Jokic and that team is just gelling. You know, they talk about hitting their stride at the right time in the season, and that team is gangbusters. And clearly, that coach is got something special. You know, you hear the guys in Golden State talk about him, and clearly they have it.
Yeah, speaking of Mike Malone, you haven't heard anything about this guy really much in the national media. He's coaching the Nuggets. He's been there 5 years now. He's super smart. Assistant coach in the league for a while. Grew up in Queens, so you know he's tough. Big stint with Golden State just before their big championship run. But Steph Curry, Draymond Green, those kinds of guys are giving him a lot of credit for that run of success they had. He was in Sacramento for 2 years. They let him go. They didn't see what Denver saw. Comes to Denver, takes them 5 years. They're solid last year. And now, wow, they're just on fire. This coach deserves a lot of credit, Malone.
Oh, absolutely. And so you take all those pieces and you put them together with that coach behind him. I, as much as I'm a Lakers fan and I'm going to, you know, be bold and say we're taking it in four, I intelligently, as a sports fan, know that they could absolutely get off a win or two. I don't know if I see them getting off four, especially coming from down 2-0. But, you know, look at how many times they've come back from 3-1. So anything's possible. But, yeah, the Nuggets are a fun team. I think they've got a bright future.
You know, the kid's like 22, Murray.
Yeah, he's...
I don't think he knows what it's supposed to feel like to be afraid. I think he's just going, hey, you know, I spent a year at Kentucky. That's all they let you spend at Kentucky anymore. They don't even have four-year majors at Kentucky.
Exactly.
So he just went, I'm ready.
They give him a six-month lease on their dorm over at Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
As an NBA fan, I'm elated that Murray's only 22 because we have many years of great basketball to watch out of him, whether he stays in Denver, which would be a fun story, or he ends up going to one of these super teams, as seems to be the trend these days in the NBA. It's going to be very fun to watch that kid's career.
You know, and there's a lot of Eastern European guys like Jokic now in the league who have the perfect complement to these hard-charging American guards who come out of college here. It's perfect. I don't know what they're doing in Europe, but the game they're playing is all these little soft touch hooks. And you know, he can come in hard when he has to, but he doesn't want to. He'd prefer to lob, a 24-footer and have it just hit nothing but net. These guys have touch like nobody's business. Like Ernie DeGregorio, you got to go back to guys like that who just have that. You know, Pete Maravich, just not all net, just all touch. And yet they're 7-1. It's crazy. They're all over the league.
Well, yeah, like you said, I mean, they've got the touch of a point guard, but they've got the size to be able to post up Shaq, which is, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, they play with this finesse that we used to see out of shooting guards, but then they can throw a body when they need to. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of Jokic's attitude. If that guy gets angry with you, you're going to have a long distance down to that hardwood floor.
I believe they're droids. I think Russia's behind the whole thing. I don't know what the mechanics are. I don't know what the computerization is. Anyway, let's move on. MMA. Here's something we haven't covered yet.
Yeah.
Former Bellator MMA lightweight champ Michael Chandler has signed an exclusive contract with UFC, as opposed to Bellator, and will serve as a potential backup to the highly anticipated lightweight title fight October, the UFC title fight.
Sure, between Khabib and Nurmagomedov.
You see a lot more. You watch a lot more of this than I do. I mean, I just watch this and go, holy smokes. It's everything short of a knife. It's amazing to me. But this is a big deal because this is like the number one dude, essentially, from the other league coming over, going to bide his time if he has to, but he's ready to go.
Absolutely. So, yes, you're right. I do like the MMA quite a bit. I watch as much of it as I can. You know, it's hard to find an analogy that really works. To call Bellator the minor leagues as compared to the UFC being the majors is not fair, because Bellator does have world-class talent, especially in recent years. They've been stepping up their signings, and they've been signing away a lot of the stars from the UFC. But it is undeniable that the UFC is where all the depth is. So
right.
Are there top guys in Bellator, the champions in Bellator, who could fight the champions in the UFC and have very competitive, fun fights? Absolutely. But the difference is that in the UFC, those champions don't usually stay champions for long, because there's 10 or 15 killers behind them working their way up the ranks. And every time they have a title fight, it's you're putting a lot on the line. Chandler.
So the October fight is who and who?
So that one is Khabib Nurmagomedov, who most famously for most people probably was the last guy to beat Conor McGregor. And since then, he's 29-0. He's an absolute phenom. He on the internet has probably got the most fame for the videos of him as a child when his father would have him wrestling a bear at age 9 years old. That's fun stuff. But he's just
absolutely referred to as just Khabib.
Yes. Yeah. Most people try to avoid his last name.
So who's he fighting?
He's fighting Justin Gaethje, unlike Khabib, who's a wrestler. Khabib's thing is he's going to take you to the ground and he's going to basically sit on your head and you're not going to be able to do anything. And it's, you know, for casual fans, that's not exciting. It's kind of boring. You know, within, you know, 30 to 60 seconds of the fight starting, he's going to drag you down to that mat, and there's not going to be much happening. He doesn't.
Well, that's why they came up with pro wrestling, with WWE, is make an Olympic sport that's exciting if your son is wrestling or daughter. But outside of that, you know, not that thrilling.
Right.
And they turned it into entertainment. But, you know, those guys, especially, you know, that whole block from Eastern Europe all the way through to like Afghanistan, boy, it's huge there. So I can understand how a guy comes out of there and he's probably a star back in his own country.
Absolutely. No, he's super famous in his own country. But sorry, your original question was about Gaethje. Gaethje is the opposite. He is going to stand there and he will have the bloodiest fights in the world. He's going to stand there and bang with you if he can. Now, the interesting thing about this fight is Gaethje going to be able to stay on his feet? If he can, it could be interesting. He could give Khabib some fits, because Khabib is not a boxer. You know, he's won all of his fights on his wrestling and dragging these guys down. But the story started with us asking about Chandler. So Chandler,
yeah. Now, how's Michael Chandler fit into this situation?
Right.
Is the UFC trying to push either or both of these two guys in the title fight to make sure they actually fight? Is this a move by UFC?
It is a move, but I don't think it's the move that you just suggested. So, Michael Chandler, you know, back to my early analogy, Michael Chandler is one of these all-time Bellator champions who could come over and fight the champion in the UFC. I mean, he is that high-quality caliber. He has been a Bellator champion forever. So when he came over to the UFC, I think what they're doing is they're installing him as the backup just in case one of these guys gets injured, because that is the wrinkle in MMA, is these guys do get injured. You know, they're training for the fights. They're getting ready.
Right.
You tear an ACL, you trip, something happens. It happens all the time. So I think what they're doing is they're basically putting Michael Chandler there and they're saying, look, in the unlikely event that one of these two guys gets injured, don't worry, fans. You can still buy this pay-per-view, because we've got this other guy who you've been waiting to see in the UFC for a decade. He's going to step right in no matter which one of them gets hurt, and he'll fight for the title.
So
it's a protection of their pay-per-view vibes, and Michael Chandler absolutely deserves to fight for a title quickly. So even if that doesn't happen, no one gets injured, Chandler will be fighting for a title, I would say. Definitely within a year.
Well, I tell you, the way I would train is to just go into a biker bar and say, I really don't like bikes. See what happens. That's how you train for that. Let's go to the NHL, because nobody else is.
Yeah.
Nobody anywhere is talking about the NHL. You got the Stanley Cup, started with 24 teams. They're down to only two left. They're in a bubble in Edmonton, Alberta. Yes, this is the plot of the next Hunger Games. It's of all the sports, Gary, that I would have cut some slack for packing it in because of the pandemic, it would have been hockey. Hockey would have gone, mazel tov, just take the year off, yeah. Start again next year. We understand it. I mean, and yet they keep going. They have dedicated fans, and it proves how much sports has now adapted, if I can, the show business model, which is you no longer need huge numbers. You just need to find your demographic, mm-hmm. appeal to that demographic, and have them open their wallets. Now, you need huge numbers for television contracts and whatnot, but not so much even anymore. If you've got a demographic that's going to pay, that's going to buy your sponsors goods, you're in. And the NHL has kind of found that. Incidentally, it's the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning tied 1-1. But honestly, I had to dig under like Major League Lacrosse results to find that. But they don't care. They're firing away on all cylinders, and NBC seems happy with the television contract.
Yeah, and you know you're right. To your point, when you go on ESPN, you got to click that ... after the other sports, and then it's eighth down on the sub list. But you know, yeah. I got to be honest. I think that the NHL did their bubble very well. They I like the way it looks. You know, I was an NHL fan as a kid. Hockey was the sport I played, so I was a big NHL fan. And in my 20s, I sort of fell off. You know, they had a few labor issues, and it's just you know yeah. I would catch it every now and then. But back during the bubble and the pandemic, I've been watching a lot of it. I've been loving it. They put up the extra video boards. They covered all the seats, yeah. which looked great. You know, they piped in a little bit of the fake noise to give you an illusion of there being fans there. They did it in a good way. I think some sports are doing that poorly. Some sports are doing it great. I think the NHL, of all the different sports, they might get my highest score on the scorecard as far as doing the bubble correctly. Now, is Tampa Bay-Dallas the most exciting final in the world? It wouldn't have been the one I picked, but it's been fun watching them. It's competitive. You know, it's 1-1. It's, you know.
Right. It's a little tough when you don't have a Northern Tier team in there. Just –
yeah,
kind of that throwback feel for hockey. But here's what I think will pop it for hockey, being a college hockey fan myself coming from Wisconsin, is the broadening of college hockey and getting some major programs involved. We just saw about 5 years ago Penn State come into it with big money. Yeah. That's the problem. It takes big money to establish. But now you got Penn State, Wisconsin, both Michigan schools, and Ohio State and Notre Dame playing actually in Big Ten hockey.
Yeah.
When that broadens out, and maybe you get an Iowa or Rutgers, or you get Pitt coming in. Maybe on the West Coast, you get Washington. You know, you get one of the Oregon schools. You get even down, you know, anybody can build a sheet of ice if you got the money. So you get UCLA or USC or San Diego State or somebody down here coming in. Arizona has a really good program now.
Yeah.
And maybe Arizona State comes up, or is it Arizona State? One of the two schools has a great college hockey program.
It's Arizona.
You're going to see this. When you get the marquee big-time college program starting to weigh in on college hockey, that's the advantage hockey has, I believe, over soccer. They keep trying to shove soccer down our throats. I remember, I'm 100. I remember growing up and them going, oh, we'll play hockey, you know, we'll play junior league hockey, and we'll play, you know, all the you know, junior high school hockey and high school hockey, and then down into the peewee hockey. And that's how it'll catch on. What's been 50 years, it still really has. It has caught on again as a niche program, and they've got their advertisers and they're happy with it. But in order to break out and become, you know, a major like basketball, like the NFL, like the NBA, like Major League Baseball, you're really going to have to up your game. And I think hockey may have an advantage because they can go to college route there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you and I will be watching, that's for sure. We may not have anyone to talk about it with except each other, but we'll be watching.
Right. That's all I'll be doing is I'll be steering myself through an old folks home with a straw, and watching a college and pro hockey. I believe that's going to do it for us. That wraps it up for Gary Smith. I'm Jeff Cesario. That's all for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports, presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.